Good morning. Today is Thursday, October the 5th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff. Oh, what is the wrist thingy, Mobabi, you got there, Mr.
I got a wrist band. This is for our Deputy Sheriff Charlie Lamb, who is battling cancer. And so we're all wearing wristbands and remembering the fight that he has going right now. So
are you like raising money?
There is always opportunity. Absolutely. So we had a basketball fundraiser, and we're probably going to look at doing another fundraiser for him and his family. The cost of traveling back and forth to the Bay Area for treatment is sky high, and he's been off work for a while. So that's something that the community comes together, and our family at the sheriff's office comes together and tries to support one of our own. So.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up. I'm not sure you would have.
Yeah, probably not.
Nice to see you, buddy.
See you too.
Let's see if we can find a quote this morning. That's a simple one. We can go with that. Mother Teresa.
Can't go wrong.
Love till it hurts. And that's it.
It's good. Keep loving.
Nothing really heavy in there. I would imagine that the topic du jour this week for you has been associated with the situation in Nevada.
Yeah, Las Vegas. It hit home because one of our deputy sheriffs was there, and just the waking up the next day and seeing the carnage that one person delivered, and all the heartache and suffering, and just also the anger, that wells up, with someone who is law enforcement and sees something like that, and you feel so helpless, and you want to do something, you want to intervene, you want to take care of the problem, and so. I feel for the families. I feel for Las Vegas PD and Las Vegas as they're dealing with all this.
I was at a radio convention in South Dakota. Buddy, actually, the guy I drove in with and we kind of ran together for a couple of days is from Las Vegas. That's where he's headquartered, even though he doesn't have stations there. You can't do anything, but yeah, you feel
That's
very,
right.
very impotent.
Right.
I'm walking around. The way I diffuse some of my frustrations, I just shake my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking around shaking Monday morning. It's like, what do you...
Yes.
What would I do if I was at home? Well, probably the same thing. Walk around shaking.
Right.
There's nothing really to do.
Right.
In that kind of a scenario. With the information, are you in kind of the intelligence network regarding this, or is this more of a... Nevada and Las Vegas PD situation, and they're kind of working on it with DOJ on top.
So Las Vegas Metro is the lead agency, but we have our federal partners are in on this, FBI, ATF. Everyone is trying to get a piece of this pie. The intelligence network is trying to, the federal intelligence network is behind this too. And whatever information they can push out that could help local law enforcement, they will do that. There probably will be confidential briefings. I'm imagining it's happening every day in Las Vegas, but as far as the intelligence networks, we get together probably every 6 weeks to 2 months and talk about threats, homeland security threats, talk about terrorist organizations and just these threats that do occur across the western states. And so it's something that we do share that information. FBI does a really, really good job of collecting and disseminating that information. This is unlike 20 years ago. The FBI has become very, very open to working with local law enforcement, gathering information, telling information, and really equipping us for what we need.
One of the things that I picked up, and I wasn't able to monitor it like I would here, was that there was an indication that Vegas might be one of those that's a potential location for an event.
Yeah.
So I wasn't totally out of the blue, but it certainly was stunning what happened. Are there a lot of communities throughout the country that are in that, well, maybe here, kind of, that column?
Yeah, so there's soft targets everywhere that have been identified, and so there are contingencies set up there. They did have a security force there at these venues. We do think about this kind of situation, but in reality, you look all across the world right now, and anything can be used as a weapon. We have cars that are driving into crowds, and we have devices going off on trains, buses, and those kind of things. So it's something that you know, we have to think about and prepare for. And, you know, we don't want to secure every event like a presidential visit, you know, taking away the sniper positions and making sure there's, you know, we screen everyone that comes in. There's no clear line of sight because we can't do that. And we're sometimes are forced to be reactionary.
An acceptable risk. I mean, at some point there is that.
There is an acceptable risk, absolutely. But, you know, the things that they do prepare for heavily, like the Super Bowl, you know, the World Series, you know, certain parades, you know, downtown New York, Manhattan during the ball drop on New Year's Eve. You know, those things that they really, really prepare for a terrorist event. You know, they figure at a big stage someone's going to do something. But some of these softer targets, like these concert venues, as we can see, it's a very easy situation. And I don't know what could have prevented this. And we'll wait and see what the intelligence community comes up with.
The one thing that I was thinking, you know, trying to translate it back to home, was reggae.
Yes.
That's about the only place where there's the concentration. I mean, truckers, yeah, we got it, but it's spread out. I mean, you know, somebody would have to be far more creative than just being in a single location.
You're exactly right. We thought about that, too, and that's the one venue that would be very, very similar to the situation in Las Vegas.
And certainly hiding in the woods, as we've had decades of experience with, it's possible.
It's possible. So, yes.
Okay, so this year may be a little bit different down there. Just learn.
Yes.
Learn and move on.
Yep. That's right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. Good to be home. We'll be back.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Looking at some of the different lessons that are always available, and they're always out there. I mean, we can look at any current news story and find something that's a lesson. You know, either it's reinforcement, what you're doing is good, or it's a learning opportunity, depending on whichever way you want to play with it. What are some of the early takeaways for Humboldt County law enforcement, for Humboldt County public service and public safety, that you're hearing, and things are starting to stir for you right now?
Right. So in California, you know, we've talked a lot about our active shooter type training, and we push that active shooter training out of just law enforcement and to schools. We've gone to businesses. We've shared this training in community meetings, and so we're actively trying to train the public of what to do in this kind of circumstance. And you know, the takeaways, you know, are that, you know, we have to do pre-planning on every single one of these big events. We have to have an operations plan. We have to have contingencies in place, you know, for alternative exits, for staging areas, and just prepare for the worst that could happen. And
now, you could probably spend 60 hours a week with a 30-year staff running this thing through. Okay. Probably going to hack a couple people off because they're not going to see troops out in the street if everybody's right in the classroom.
Right.
So how do you make that determination? Are you just looking for base framework? Are
yes.
you looking to kind of get it a little bit more granular than that? And if it's in Arcata, here's how we react. But boy, if it's in Myers Flat, here's how we're going to react. And the two are kind of different.
You know, in law enforcement, pre-planning has come a long way, you know, because what used to happen is if you got a search warrant, you got a search warrant signed, you go and try to get a couple uniform officers, and let's go to this house, let's serve the search warrant in the house, and let's take people into custody. And you didn't come up with a plan until you get to the door and start knocking and say, hey, If anyone resists or if anyone runs out the back, can you go run after them? You know, now everything is pre-planned. Everything is written down. Everyone knows their assignments beforehand. And there's also contingencies as a part of that plan. What happens if? And we talk about those things. So we take,
now,
you know,
is that because of all the meth labs and stuff in the 90s that you'd go in and you'd find things that weren't what they kind of appeared to be?
It is because things went wrong. Things went bad. You know, search warrants, you know, we got into meth labs. We got into shootings. We got into use of force issues. And we meaning the collective law enforcement. And so we want to learn from other agencies' mistakes. We want to learn from other agencies' successes. And so this has all gone about, you know, I think through a lot of the big drug busts, you know, in the 70s and 80s and things that went wrong. And really our drug task force and our specialty teams have developed the operations plan, and it has spilled over into every pre-planned event where if there's something that the law enforcement wants to do, we ask for, well, let's look at the operations plan and let's look at that. And then it's ability for a commander to sign off on it, to review it, sign off on it, and then ask any questions that may be there.
So does that make it more challenging, more inefficient? More time consuming, or
no,
does the pre-planning make it smoother, easier, and actually better?
It makes it way better. It makes it more efficient. It makes it very, there's very, very clear rules of what to do. And everyone has their assignments. Everyone knows what they're doing. So there's no questions in there. One thing we don't want is questions when we start knocking at the door. It's like, well, what am I doing? Where am I going? And so we have to have that plan in place before we walk up there, because there's enough of the unknowns on the other side of the door or at the event. And so everything we can pre-plan for, we'll do that.
How different is that? I mean, I would think, you know, if you got a guy who wants to be a cop,
mm-hmm.
Okay, he's not becoming a cop because he wants to be a community planner.
Right.
He wants to go and do, and the adrenaline junkie, I mean, all those scenarios that are in place. So is this the older, more seasoned guys who aren't quite as adrenaline-driven, or is it everybody through the entire system, whenever that's going out, everybody's looking for that?
This is the standard now. Going forward, this is the standard that we're living up to. This is not reactive law enforcement. You know, every day we have uniform officers that are around patrol vehicles, and they react to situations. So there's no time to pre-plan when you see something unfolding in front of you or someone calls 911. There's certain planning that you can do as you get into a scene through coordination of the radio, simple directions that a sergeant can give or an officer can give, you know, as they're rolling up on the scene. But if we have time, we're going to take that time and we're going to plan out an event and to make sure that everything is safe and we can execute the search warrant as smooth and as quick as possible.
Is that one of the more vulnerable activities?
Absolutely. You know,
search warrants,
when you are going into someone's residence with a search warrant, I mean, we're invading someone's rights. And a judge orders, you know, us to circumvent the Fourth Amendment, and we have an authority of the court to, Superior Court judge says, you know, go in here to a private residence. And so, you know, a person's home is their castle, and it is the most, you know, sensitive area of someone's life. And so that is, so we have to recognize that. And when we go into there, and there's some people may not welcome us, you know, as we have to bust down a door because they're not opening it.
When you are responding to a situation, do you have, like, not protocols, but I guess akin to that in a commercial setting? Because I would think that that's a different dynamic, like this guy with a hotel or the one down in Garberville last week where somebody gets thrown off the balcony. I mean, you kind of go, what?
Right. You know, in the past, you know, before Columbine, the shooting in Colorado, you know, we used to wait. We used to surround, wait for the shooting to stop. Now we're going after the threat. Now we're pursuing it head on.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Emergency response is something, as we were talking about it at the radio gathering, you know, I was kind of bragging on our area instead of slamming it.
Thank you.
Depends, well, yeah. You know, you guys start asking about the marijuana.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm going to tell them, you know, it might be slightly jaundiced, but, you know, I'm going to tell them we're standing next to each other on that one. But with the emergency response, you know, they were saying 72 hours, we're talking about Florida and how those guys were having to respond, or the guys along the Gulf Coast. And I said, you know, well, for us, we know what we're supposed to do. Now, whether or not we do it, yeah, 72 hours automatic, you know, you got to be able to go 3 days without having power. You know, and you can tell the new guys, they're the ones that have got the cans, but they also have an electric can opener.
Right.
Yeah, everybody would kind of look and then explain, and then we get the chuckle we just had. But I was starting to then think, okay, what would happen if, are we really prepared or not? Do we have 72 hours? Some do, some don't. Do we rotate the stock? Some do, some don't. Water gets old. Does anybody, you know, I mean, it's simple to plug it into the faucet and... But do we think about those types of things often enough? I mean, we're geared up. There's an event. We broadcast. We got all the do's and don'ts.
That's right.
You guys got all the do's and don'ts.
That's right.
But the community, we get lazy.
Right.
Are we ready, do you think, for an emergency situation? If it's an earthquake, if it's a lightning strike, it does something goofy, the tidal wave, mm-hmm. the wind storms. Or some kind of a social situation like what Vegas dealt with.
That's right. You know what? I don't think we are ready. It is something that, you know, we are apathetic as a society because we don't experience this every year. If we had an area that flooded every year, we'd be ready for the flood. You know, earthquakes, we get them often enough that it's, you know, a 3 point here, 4 point. But we haven't had the major one in quite a while, and we haven't had a tsunami, a significant one here, in quite a while. But there's always the potential. And make no bones about it, if there's a statewide event, we are going to be on our own for probably more than 3 days. And so we have to be prepared. You know, as the director of emergency management for the county, you know, we take this stuff very, very serious. Our OES director, Dori Lani, is always pushing us out there. We are meeting monthly with our area partners. We have area directors all over the county, and we talk about this. And so we have, you know, our inroads with emergency management, with emergency responders, the fire departments, the hospitals. And so all of the
you guys are doing it. I have more faith in the infrastructure than I do in the people.
Right.
On this one.
Well, and this
you
know, is
you guys drill it, you practice it. Let's stop 10 folks dropping their kids off at Lafayette for their elementary school for today. How many do you think of those could make it 12 hours?
Yeah.
Without power to recharge their cell phone?
Probably not. You know, and it's our duty and responsibility to help shelter people and that kind of thing. But all that stuff takes time. And when we have limited resources and limited supplies on hand, you know, it's very, very difficult. And it becomes very, 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 very life-threatening. You know, we do value life over property, but there is going to be a triage that happens, you know. And if the big one hits... And there is a tsunami in the inundation zones. You know, our whole community is going to be cut off. So it's you know, Eureka is going to be isolated. Fortuna, Ferndale, you know, all these areas where, you know, we're crossover bridges to get, you know, over these rivers. You know, the overpasses could be damaged. So we're going to be isolated. And, you know, luckily we have a great Coast Guard facility here. They have 4 helicopters, and we have a great partnership. Commander Fuller up there right now. We just had a meeting about search and rescue the other day. And we talk about interagency operations. And we all understand that if there's a major event here, it's going to be we need helicopters, just like Florida, just like Texas. Lots of helicopters to bring the sick out, to bring aid in, and we're lucky that we have the U.S. Coast Guard here to assist us. And so, I encourage people to really thank, you know,
when you go to the grocery store next time, get a couple extra.
But prepare, yes. People need to prepare. People need to make sure they have 3 days of water. That's the minimum. 3 days of water on hand, and have enough. You know, they have MREs, they have Mountain House, you know, meals, those kind of things that people usually take backpacking. And it's simple. You spend, you know, $100 of this kind of freeze-dried food, you put it into a sealed plastic bin, and just push it away. And that stuff can be good for 10 years. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, let's just say it won't get worse over 10 years. KINS, News and Information Time. It's
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Looking at some of the different things that are out there, how do you prioritize? I mean, you got the day-to-day.
Yeah.
You got the seasonal. Right. You've got the annual. Then you got the, well, we don't really know when, but because I would think there could be a temptation to treat them all the same. And that's goofy because you can't. So how do you prioritize what you do and how you do it and where you throw your treasure, right? Time,
right.
Time treasure. And
right.
Yeah. How do you figure that out?
Well, in the sheriff's office, because we have so much areas of responsibility, we have to do day-to-day operations. But it doesn't matter. You know, that's a given. What we have to do is we have to prepare as much as we can for that unknown. We have to prepare for those emergencies that do occur. We have to...
10% of your functional budget? Goes to that?
No, it's way
Two?
Less. It's way less. Yeah, it's.
It's still enough money to get excited about.
But. Yes, but you know it's a huge responsibility. Now I'm working with the county and the CAO and the board of supervisors. They get it. The grand jury, they get it too. As far as planning goes, they talked about establishing a new communication center, a new office of emergency services. That's something that's adequate that we can all work out of. Right now, it's in the old bomb shelter of. You know, which is not a bad idea.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
North Korea, you know.
You're talking about protection. You kind of want to have it bulletproof, yeah.
Yes, but, you know, in an area where we can actually function out of, and also communication is going to be vital in this emergency situation. So we want to be tied to our emergency communication center, and so we can get the latest information because, you know, phone lines are going to be down, and so really we're going to be going over radio and with backup
power. Well, computer
powder.
Systems down, too. I mean, if the internet goes down, you know, ours... You know, we have the old landline here. We've got a VoIP based.
Right.
Probably ought to have some kind of a wireless microwave from your shop to our shop so that, you know, we can get it out.
Yeah, that information has to get out. And that's why, you know, ham operators are still so important because in that event of emergency, we do have those connections that they can get information throughout the county. And so we do have, you know, inroads there too.
A pretty well established positive relationship.
Yes.
That was one of the battles up north with the fire, is they excluded the ham operators.
Yeah.
It kept literally arm's length.
Yeah.
You know, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So many, unless Humboldt County's unique, and you know, certainly how many regards we are, but the ham guys are out there as eyes and ears and out in the small little crevices that you guys will never go to, they're there
and they're willing, and it's a great hobby for them. So they're investing a lot of money in this equipment, and you know, they talk to people all around the world, and so if something happens, they want to help out here. They want to push information out. They want to gather information, provide it to us so we can actually effectively respond. So it is going to be you know, if the big one does happen and our computers go down, our fiber optic line is cut, oh, heaven forbid.
We go back to our 70s, and here's what we do, guys.
We punch cards. We you know, we lots of Post-it notes, and we go back to just filing everything and making sure that we have as much information as possible to make an informed decision.
Yeah, it's I mean, you can spend forever, you can spend any budget, but it's something that needs to be in that equation somehow. Yeah. And then I would think the other thing is the training part. You know, not at your end, at my end.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, push that information out. You know, we talked about, you know, bring in FEMA training here to Humboldt County. You know, there was about 75 of us that went back to Emmitsburg a year and a half ago and did countywide training. It was very, very good, but it also very, very troubling. It showed a lot of weaknesses here. And so we're still working on those. I'm very, very lucky we have a supportive community that wants to do something. And so we're going to be pushing more information out as the months go on and to try and prepare for, you know, the emergencies that could occur.
You call it hardening the target. I call it managing the gap. I think it's probably pretty much the same thing.
Absolutely.
All right. But I don't get a gun to play with. I don't get that part. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.